Nine Podcasts.
I'm Elise.
And I'm Tom. As Oscar Wilde once said,
ultimately the bond of all companionship, whether in marriage or in friendship, is conversation.
Welcome to our husband-wife podcast, The Elliot Exchange. What could possibly go wrong?
Find out with us by tapping the follow or subscribe button on The Elliot Exchange, wherever you get your podcast.
Hi there, Tom.
Hello, Elise.
My note of love this week is brought to you by the J. Gels band, Centrefold. Just out of interest before I get into it, I love keeping people waiting. What does the J stand for?
I don't know.
Was it
J. Giles or Gels? I can't remember now.
Interesting.
It's like 40 years ago.
Anyway, so my baby is not only a Centrefold, but a front page star. Look at you, front page of the Good Weekend magazine.
It is one of the more odd photos of me. Like, we had this photographer in our house.
Strange.
And he dressed me up in my most lurid Hawaiian – when I say he dressed me, he suggested I put on my most lurid Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah.
And he got me looking very sideways as though I'm about to be attacked by something.
Yeah, and looking slightly scared. But what I notice is it's the style edit.
Yeah.
And in a moment of wild sartorial irony, you're wearing – and Hawaiian shirt.
Well, and I must say, it was a very nice article, and I'd like to thank Conrad Marshall, the journalist who didn't,
eviscerate you.
Yeah, he could have said all sorts of mean things about me, but he resisted the temptation. But he described my shirts as
vomitous
and
lurid.
Awful and horrible and truly hideous. And I'm like, because I look at them and say, I really like that one.
I know, you've got tunnel vision when it comes
well,
to
well, not really. And I had a lovely email today from a listener to the radio program saying, I particularly like the shirt you have on yesterday because people watch online. And so
but
it's
you know, well, if one isn't enough, when you open up for my angel is a centerfold, na 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 na, my angel's wearing
It is the same shirt over and over and over. And sadly, we tried on some different ones and the photographer really liked that one. Anyway, if you haven't seen the Good Weekend magazine from last weekend in The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald, I'm in it.
And that's why my note of love, sort of extrapolating from this, is proud of you.
Oh, thank you, my love. That's very kind. Mm-mm. Well, weirdly, my note of love, and no, it's not about myself, but it does come from the same article, is I gave them a whole bunch of photos and they picked out one from 1985 and it's one of me and my mother, my late mother, and she's been dead almost 10 years now. And it was such a lovely photo of the two of us. And she would have only been 42 or maybe 43 when it was taken. So younger than I am now, considerably younger. And it actually just made me miss her and made me realise how much I did love her. So even though Mummy no longer with us, it was lovely to see that photo.
That's the note of love.
That's the note. That's the note of love.
All right, now, as you know, Elise, and as everybody listening knows, we love emails, Elliot Exchange, that's 2Ls, 2Ts, at 9.com.au. And this week we have a bit of a conundrum or a personal problem from Daniel, who says, 40 years back and as a diehard St Kilda fan, well, there's part of your life problem right there, Daniel. I mean, St Kilda is the team that tends to disappoint more than it satisfies. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I'm a diehard St Kilda fan. I've been looking forward all week to the Saints' first game back against the Cats. Halfway through the game, my Apples and Strife wife comes out and demands that I help her put the kids to bed. We have a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old who are known to be a little bit troubling at bedtime. That might be like the
like you,
the Exorcist. You know, their heads spin around and green spew comes out.
If that's true, then you must know my mother's maiden name. What is it?
Anyway, that's me saying that, not Daniel. I'm sure they're lovely children. Anyway, Daniel says, I'm not trying to remove myself from my duties helping with the children, but in this instance, I feel like I was hard done by it. It turned into quite an argument as my wife can't understand why I couldn't just watch it later. Like, just record it and watch it later. And she said, you know, it's like Netflix. You just pause it and watch it once the children have gone to sleep. Please help me settle this. Who is in the wrong? Well, it's very simple, Daniel. Your wife was wrong. It's live sport. Like, once you know the result, you don't want to go back and watch it because it's not exciting. You already know what's going to happen.
Mm-mm. Unless you're my dad who likes to watch matches over and over again. Just digressing somewhat, Daniel, I have a nice little anecdote regarding that match. I was emceeing a wonderful event at the Grand Prix for Sir Jackie Stewart, the three times F1 winner, pioneer of safety on the track, pioneer of dementia, charity, money raising. And halfway through the night, a guest arrived a little late and a little refreshed.
A little over, a bit tired and emotional.
A bit tired. And that was Mark Webber.
Yes.
And he walked in and I said, Mark's arrived. He's not part of the auction, ladies. And Mark took that as a cue to come up on stage.
Grab
and give
the
a
microphone.
Little, grab the mic, give a little impromptu speech, which was lovely and most welcome. But he had been at said St Kilda match with
Eric Banner.
Hi. It's Porter, not Porter.
AKA the Incredible Hulk and
Chopper Reed. All those things. And a lovely guy to boot.
And a St Kilda supporter.
Mad St Kilda supporter. So I said to Mark Webber, for whom do you barrack? And he said, I didn't have a team, but now it's St Kilda. It was an amazing match. Well, so back to Daniel's question. All right. Look, Daniel, I'm going to side with you on this one, and I'm sorry to your wife. Because
you've betrayed the sisterhood.
No, it's not just a girl v boy thing. I mean, what, boys don't own sport, just quietly. But it is, it'd be like someone, like you saying to me in the middle of the Grand Prix, honey, can you go and do this? I'm like, no. And you're like, you can watch it later. No, you've got to watch it then. The excitement is unfolding in real time. So what you could do as a couple perhaps is say before, establish boundaries and say, my team's playing tonight. I am going to be focused on my team. Could you put the kiddlywinks to bed? But how about this, sweetheart? You sleep in the morning. And I'll take them to the park.
Yes, that's right. Now, I might add that some of Daniel's upsetness comes from the fact that, from his perspective, it didn't end up being a game worth watching because St Kilda lost to Geelong by 8 points.
Mm.
But let's hope he and his wife sorted it out by the following week because St Kilda beat Collingwood.
Yeah.
And that was fabulous. Like, it was like our mutual friend, Kate Langbrook. She's originally from Brisbane. Mm. Because she used to be a member of a religious cult up there when she was young. It wasn't her choice. Anyway, she married her husband, Peter, and came to Melbourne. And she'd say, oh, I've organised for us to have dinner with friends on Friday night. And her husband would just say, no, the footy's on. Yeah. And see, in Brisbane, you know, like rugby league doesn't grab people the way that footy does. So people don't care whether they see the games or not. But, you know, in Melbourne, if you like your footy, that's it.
Yeah.
That defines your social life. No, we're not going away that weekend. So-and-so is playing. Like recently I was invited to a reunion, you know, going back to university days. They said, oh, it's the 3rd of May. Let's all get together. I said, nah, can't. Carlton plays Collingwood that night.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be there.
Yep.
I have to watch it.
Yep.
So, Daniel, you're in the right, and I hope you've renegotiated things with your wife and your troublesome 3- and 5-year-olds.
Tom, we've had a few things break in the house of late, and I find when it's your fault, it's my fault. And when it's my fault, it's also my fault.
Yes.
And I just don't know how that works out. So first one was wheel rims.
Right? Mm.
It's there was a gentle scratch on the side of one and you went utterly berserk at me. And said, you don't value cars. Now, can I just point out that I actually drive million-dollar cars on a regular basis?
I bet if you scratched the wheels and brought it back, they'd have stern words with you.
Did you know two motoring journalists drove a McLaren off a cliff? And
really?
They were saved because of McLaren used this amazing carbon fibre that's incredibly light but incredibly robust.
And did they just bring the car back in pieces?
Car to bring back. It was just the keys. They were lucky to be alive. Anyway, heaven forbid that ever happens. Scratching the wheel rims is not the prerogative of a woman, but somewhat foolishly, I showed you a meme a week earlier on International Women's Day.
Of a scratched wheel rim.
And it said, Happy International Women's Day, and we had a chuckle about it. And in a case of life imitating art, unfortunately, I did the same. Anyway, you went apoplectic about this. I took it to the car repairer today.
I thought you'd done it to celebrate Women's Day.
You said it's a mere flesh wound.
Look, you stupid bastard, you've got no arms left.
Yes, I have. Look! Just a flesh wound.
He said this is so minor that he could buff it out if he wanted to. So, all right. So, exhibit A, bad, right? From your perspective in terms of reaction. Exhibit B, we're surfing together. You surf into me as we're trying to come into the shore. I'm trying to look like a Baywatch babe, you know, running in slow motion out with my surfboard under the arm, and you totally ruined that because you surfed into me. I said, look, can you not surf into me? And he did it again. And sliced my surfboard in 3, basically, with a big Sharky cake slice out of my beloved surfboard, and it was my fault.
Well, it actually was.
Because you can't have it both ways. Okay. I'm a bit cranky about this.
Well, fair enough, but I'll explain. So when you have a surfing contest, not that that was a contest, but
when the siren goes,
you're not allowed to stand up on a wave again. You have to come in.
It was a Sunday afternoon.
But when you have to lie down and just catch the wave straight in. And I assume that's what we were doing.
I went straight in.
No. I was going straight in. You could see by the pattern of the fins which have slashed through your board, you've gone sideways.
No, sorry. I was on your left.
Yeah.
Going like that.
And you went right and you smashed into underneath me.
I was going straight and you went on an angle into me. Anyway.
The board is now fixed.
So it'll never be the same.
And you can tell people that actually a shark did it.
No, and the thing is, the difference with the wheel rims, right, a little scrape, tiny, no one injured. You sliced my surfboard in half with me on top of it, may I add. That could have been my leg in three pieces. Now, that would not be funny.
No, but luckily it didn't happen. And as I said, you've now got some lovely patina on your board. Was it patina?
Patina.
I don't want a patina on my board.
No,
it looks fantastic.
And I'm waiting for an apology. Come on.
All right, I'm sorry that
no,
I damaged
look me
your
in the eyes.
I'm sorry I damaged your surfboard.
Look me in the eyes and don't laugh.
I'm sorry I damaged your surfboard. I won't do it again. Although I must say every surfboard I've ever had, I've smashed in some way, shape or form.
So from now on, and I'd like to extend this. Look, I'd love people to email us and tell us what they think. Perhaps we can put this out there. Things break. That's what living is. Like you can be as careful as you want, but small things are going to happen. So I think you have to be understanding, not lecture people about it. Don't give them a lecture like you did me. Like gentle approach because you've broken a fair few things. I hear a lot of little glasses breaking at night.
No, that's the
dishwasher. Because suddenly we have 3 glasses and we had 12.
It's not my fault. When I bought them, I said to the people, will these survive the dishwasher? Yes, they'll be fine. Every second one of them comes out in two pieces.
Yeah, it's your big hands brutally bringing them out of the dishwasher. No, so anyway, point being, things break. We're going to be understanding moving forward.
So it's going to be like a Greek wedding.
Yeah.
With those smash plates.
Correct. With apologies at the end. Now, Tom, you sometimes surprise me with your knowledge. Do you know what a Birkin bag is?
Well, until recently, no. Although there was a thing in the Middle Ages called a merkin, which I won't describe here. But
the pubic wig. Why would you need that?
Well, that's what I could never understand.
It's weird, isn't it?
It is strange.
But what happens that you need
I can't think of a...
You always bring the tone down. I'm trying to be highbrow with a Birkin bag, like you're talking about like a 17th century sort of nether region.
Maybe it was
wiggage.
Like some form of chastity belt, I don't know. Anyway.
It would certainly work like one, I tell you.
Well, so... Sadly, the singer Jane Birkin died recently, and she was best known for her song with her husband called, is it called Je T'aime?
Je t'aime, je t'aime, oh oui, je t'aime.
Is that what she says? I love you over and over.
Je t'aime? Is it not I no longer love you?
I don't know, it's
je
French.
Je t'aime. Yeah, I love you.
It's in gibberish, so no one would know.
French, gone.
Anyway.
She was much younger than him.
She was.
A bit like us.
And apparently her father was a military officer. Oh, and he just couldn't understand how his beautiful 22-year-old English daughter ended up with some 44-year-old chain-smoking Frenchman.
Yeah.
But that's what happened. And, you know, I mean, love is love. We know that from the gay marriage debate. Anyway, so she died, sadly, about 6 months ago. And as well as her career in music and in films, she helped design a thing called the Birkin bag, and she went to, I guess I'd call it Hermes, but it's probably pronounced a different
Hermes,
way. Do you say the S on the end? Hermes? I don't know. Hermes. Anyway, she went to them and said, look, I'm a mum, I've got 2 little kids, I need a smart bag that I can carry around all the bits and pieces that kids need. And they came back with this thing called the Birkin bag, which is supposed to help working women or women who are mothers. Mm-hmm. And it's turned into this ultra-exclusive, ultra-expensive thing that no one can afford anymore.
Yeah, correct. So this brings me to the point of this story. They are so exclusive, they're impossible to buy. Now, what happens now, you have to spend a certain amount in the flagship store before you can even be considered for it.
So you'd have to buy 20 of their LMA scarves or something.
Yeah, or, you know, perfumes.
What else do they make?
Lots of.
What do you buy at Hermes? Shoes?
Well, if underpants? You walk in calling it that, right. You get actually electrocuted at the front gate. Point being, there's a couple in America that want to sue them for the practice of what's called tying. So, I mean, I am not across financial terms like you, but that's the selling of certain items to customers on the condition that they buy another product from the same business. So, for example, you can't own this coveted bag unless you spend X thousand with us first. So they're going to sue. Yeah. Sue the company. And this has shocking ramifications for bigger brands like, say, Rolex or Porsche. You know, Porsche, you're not allowed to
buy. Yeah, because they all do it. Like if you want, I mean, not that I have one, but if you want like a special limited edition Ferrari, you only get it if you've already bought about five other Ferraris. Mm. Yeah, they just don't make enough of them. It reminds me of my time when I used to work at Country Road, or as we called it back then, Crunchy Toad, Doncaster Shopping Town, 1993.
You get a lot of mileage out of that.
I do.
You worked there for how long? 8 months?
About 3 months, actually, in the shop. I remember my.
You think you'd been shackled to that company for about three decades.
Honestly, I was there for 4 years. But, you'd sit there, people would be playing in the background, you'd be folding clothes, then you'd find a whole bunch of security tags, which meant stuff had been stolen, and then you'd sort of throw them in the bin, because if you admitted that stuff had been stolen, there'd be. The store manager would come around and have a witch hunt.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was terrible. Anyway, so we got an incentive if we sold something extra. So let's say our producer Richard came in and he said, good morning. I would like a smart pair of slacks to wear at work.
Chinos.
And I'd like a chambray shirt that I could tuck in and have a high-waisted sort of look going, as Richard is wont to do.
And then you'd upsell him a pastel jumper. I have to upsell him.
So if I could, it just had to be a third thing. So I'd just go a pair of socks. Something cheap because it was easier to get him across the line.
Right, I see.
And then you get like a $5 commission.
Right. But that's not quite tying.
Well, it sort of is. Anyway, I wasn't very good at the upselling, which is why I had to leave the shop.
There are many reasons, including you wouldn't wear said chambray shirt but, chino combo.
Well, no, it's come back.
To you?
No, The founder of Country Road, a man I used to be very good friends with and still am, Stephen Bennett, was brought back recently to do a heritage range, and it included high-waisted chinos and chambray shirts. So it's back.
Love you to wear
and boat
that.
Shoes.
Are they sort of stonewashy? Oh, no, they're stonewashy jeans.
Yeah.
No, they didn't make them.
But going back to the Birkin bag, why make something that's aimed at a woman who's got little kids and then make it so expensive and so exclusive that no one can actually get it?
It's not aimed at little kids anymore. It's aimed at women in general, and it's very coveted. The thing is, you'll be pleased to know I don't covet one of these bags because working in motoring, my hand – look at – I was in the pit lane.
Just use a backpack like I do.
I know, right? Imagine putting a Birkin on the ground there with all that high-octane action happening around me. So I don't. But it brings me to the very, very circuitous route to the question. Is there anything that you covet that you've either managed to acquire or never will?
Well, I haven't got one yet, but I intend to have one before I die.
Is this on Dear Santa?
No. I'm not sure Santa can do this, but if he can, if he's listening, a bunker. Now, you and I have spoken about this before. But the idea...
Wait. Backpedal. Dear Santa,
I would like
all
a bunker.
I want for Christmas is a bunker. As in the war.
A fully stocked
prepper,
zombie, prepper, war, financial collapse, whatever. But a safe space that I can go to.
Do you know sometimes I look at you and think, is it too late to extricate myself?
No, you'll be allowed in too, which is a good thing. And our daughter, if she behaves. So you have it fully stocked. It has a little, its own separate exit so you can get away if people are trying to chase you.
Through a tunnel.
It has, food that won't go off and doesn't require refrigeration. It'd be like camping but underground.
See, I don't know if you're joking. I don't think you are.
Look, think of it as an insurance policy. Well, let's say we get it. We never need it. Santa's spent, whatever it costs him with the elves.
$15,000.
That's
not stocked. The fact I looked into this is really, really sad.
Well, and don't laugh, but in the aftermath of the global financial crisis, a lot of tech billionaires bought self-sustaining farms in New Zealand. They decided that if the world was going to collapse, New Zealand was the place they wanted to be. And I think it's either Jeff Bezos or Mark Zuckerberg has bought like an entire Hawaiian island and is building like a compound there, which will have weapons and just everything a man could want. So, what about you, Elise? What would you like to get that perhaps you haven't got yet?
How can I possibly trump a bunker?
I don't know. Maybe you'd like to be Prime Minister of Australia or something
right,
like
so
that.
So, I actually own it. So, owning a convertible 68 Mustang V8.
Oh, so it's done.
Done.
So life is complete.
Well, from a materialistic perspective, yes.
Mm.
So really what I'd love now is just time and travel.
Now, see, that's
not time travel.
Wait a minute, Doc. Are you telling me that you built a time machine?
Well, more time and more time to travel.
Although when you think about it, time travel would also be very useful.
Wouldn't be bad.
Go back, change things.
But just, you know what? I know it sounds all very sort of naff and out there, but I really think experience is what I want. Experiences.
Yep.
I want to do that ice driving where you skid across ice.
Yep.
You know, there's so much of the world I haven't seen.
There's a hotel in somewhere in Scandinavia
that
that's made of
to.
Ice.
The ice hotel.
And you sleep on a block of ice.
Yep,
I'd like
right.
to do that.
That's in, I think, Norway from memory. So many fabulous experiences. So, yes, from a materialistic perspective, I'm there. I'm sorry you haven't got your bunk yet.
Yeah, but I will. And that's something to look forward to in life together.
Can't wait.
Okay, Elise, so what have you learnt today?
You're serious about wanting a bunker. And I laughed nervously about this, but now I realise you really want one. And you might be in there alone, just saying. How about you?
And I think you might have betrayed the sisterhood today. You backed our emailer, Daniel. He wants to watch the football. He wants his wife to take care of the kids. And you said, Daniel is on the right path. Well done to you, Elise.
Now, I want to wish all our listeners a safe Easter.
Mm.
Little break, because we're not here next week. We're taking a little break, a week off talking to
each other.
Only
1 week. And, of course, keep the emails coming anytime, any issue. Elliot Exchange, that's 2Ls2Ts@9.com.au. Or, of course, if you want to keep up to date with what Elise does on Instagram, and there's all sorts of things to look at there at the moment, Elise Elliot _media.